Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning to all of our listeners, friends, family, those who are here in Barbados and those who are abroad. We look forward to hearing your calls, receiving your WhatsApps. Remember the number to call, 434-1790 or 266 with your messages via WhatsApp. We're going until 2 p.m. today. Mr. John Stout is our producer. I'm Lisa Gale. I'll be your moderator. I know there are a number of topics, many topics we can delve into. But of course, the main topic on all of our minds is the pandemic. That pandemic, COVID-19, that has rocked the world. We are currently experiencing so many implications. If you just want to put the word Lee at the end, economically, financially, psychologically, socioeconomically, so many different ways it is impacting us. Mentally, emotionally, it has had far-reaching implications, some of which we are yet to discover. And believe it or not, today, the 16th of April, is exactly 1 month away from us having recorded our first positive case of COVID-19. And I'm sure you know of the developments both here and abroad and how this unseen phenomenon has impacted so many of, it has had so many seen implications. It is amazing. But there are other issues I'm sure you would want to talk about. Just if we look very closely here at our neighbors in the south, just over a month or a month, 6 weeks, a while now, it was March 2nd, they had general elections. That is our sister's Guyana. And to date, we are yet to see the swearing in of that new government. I haven't read today's news, but I know some work is on foot to finalize the counting. We know we've had significant delays there. But another thing, in the midst of COVID-19, I wonder how that country is faring with the pronouncements, with the decision-making, etc. When you have a government in waiting or a government, you know, just not being finalized, that could have some significant angst on the people in that country. So let us wish our brothers and sisters a speedy resolution and finality to getting that underway so that the assigned and elected leaders can get on with the business of the day. Of course, it's more than COVID to be done, but at this point in time, everything right now is, you know, impacted because of COVID, and a lot of decision making has been as a result of COVID. So yes, let us hope that that's quickly finalized. There are a number of notices as a result of COVID that we will have to be constantly repeating. By now you should know the hotline off the cuff of it, simply 535-4500. That's the COVID hotline. You can call there, and if you want to get something else, I'm sure they would put you on to that other place. Relative to COVID, of course, bear in mind that it is, of course, a number of persons calling, so you will have some delays. If you want to get the emergency pass, remember the email address is emergency.pass@barbados.gov.bb. And those passes will be sent directly to your mobile phone after you would have filled out the spreadsheet. And then I recently found out that the valid farmer's ID issued by the Ministry of Agriculture and Food and Security, they are now permitting the use of those IDs instead of the pass. So if you have a valid farmer's ID issued by the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, you can use that ID to continue about your business as you deal with your farm or any work related to your business. In addition, organizations operating in the third sector, we know that is civil society, any non-governmental organizations or benevolent organizations that would include churches, service clubs, you name it, faith-based organizations, the like, those persons can now apply to for an emergency pass, and their specific email address is third, that would be third, T-H-I-R-D, dot sector at barbados.gov.bb. I repeat that, any organizations operating in the third sector, that is the civil society organizations, any non-governmental organization, if you're not private sector and you're not public sector, you fall into that category, basically. And those persons can apply for a pass to do specifically if you want to travel during the curfew hours to do work dedicated to specifically that particular area. So let's say, for example, if on Sunday you have to go and stream your service and you're allowed to go to your church, then you apply to third.sector@barbados.gov.bb. And that application process is managed, though, by the Ministry of Labour and Social Partnership Relations. So I'm sure if you have any queries, you can send that email there. And you would get your pass by the... It would be issued by the Ministry of Innovation, Science and Smart Technology, which has issued all of the other passes. So those are two notices. There was another one I saw today from the SurePay sharing all of the notices, all of the locations. So throughout the session, I would definitely be repeating some of those numbers and trying to get you your details. I'm sure many of you know the days based on the numbers, based on your last name. And recently we heard the czar mention, the COVID czar, Mr. Richard Carter. We heard him mention, initially he thought, well, you know, it would be a first name. If you have a double bar name, it would be a first name. But now they're speaking to the last name, where the family name would be that last name. So persons, please try not to overdo. One observation, and that's my observation. I have been, of course, I'm a part of Barbados. I have eyes and ears. I see and hear things. And I think there has been a significant level of selfishness on the part of our Barbadians in this scenario. And of course, I've seen a lot of pain, I've seen some dislocation, etc. But one of the things I want to comment specifically on today is the selfishness that I see manifesting in, and people sometimes are not even aware that they're selfish. For example, we were given some days that we can shop if we need to, days we can go to the hardware store or the fish market if we need to. And it seems as though everyone saw that as if you are in the category of A, let's say A was allowed to shop yesterday, that every single person who was A was supposed to shop yesterday. That's not what I got. What I understood is, if you need to go, and this is under a curfew, if you need to go, then you go. But it doesn't say go and put yourself in peril and stand next to the person, talk to them, a thing that allows COVID-19 to be passed on, and then say, oh, these supermarkets having too much people, or oh, these people aren't ready yet. Folks, and this is for who the cat fits. This is not for the person who did not have anything in their pantry, cupboard, larder, whatever you want to call it. It's not for those persons. This is for the persons who have, let's say you use 96 items, and you are out of 3, or you're out of 10, and you must go and stand in a line. Who sent you there? What about the other old lady or the other young person who didn't have anything, who only just got some money? I find that we are so selfish. And then there's another scenario that I heard about that took place yesterday, with persons buying like if there is no tomorrow. Folks, we've been assured by the authorities that there's going to be some food stock. And mind you, yes, you may not believe everything the authorities say. Okay, but think about your brother or sister. And I heard this very early in the discussions, that if we protect ourselves alone and we do not look out for our neighbors, we are really not protecting ourselves, because the neighbor will invariably infect us at some point. Folks, stop being so selfish. Stop thinking about yourself and think about somebody else. Look at the bigger picture. You can do without one or two of the things that you don't have in your pantry. The other thing I observed as well is the constant belly aching. There is so much that we have in Barbados that we are blessed with. I actually spoke to my colleague only yesterday from Gaza, who has had a very difficult life. Watched her brother gunned down at the age of 13 years old. And has had, I mean, she's been through a lot. We know what goes on in the Gaza Strip. But she reached out to me yesterday just checking in. And I you know, just encouraged her or whatever. And then when she told me that this lockdown, we don't even know what the word lockdown means because we're not experiencing a lockdown, folks. We are experiencing some reduced hours of operation. I don't see it as a lockdown. You are asked, this is moral suasion. People are not being, yes, very few people have been arrested for breaking the curfew. But when in those countries you are told do not leave home, you can't leave. And we have so many people. I am amazed at the, and I put it down to selfishness. Someone may find another word, but I put it down to selfishness where you only see out of your eyes what you need, what you want, what your family needs, and what your family wants. Folks, there may be somebody else out there that you are putting in peril because of your actions. And you're only seeing your actions because you need. So my encouragement to all of who's listening, and I say, who the cat fit, let him wear it. Yes, there is some person who say, oh, but I don't mind that. But we must not only be thinking about ourselves. And of course, when we get into a panic situation, and I know the stages of crisis, yes, you go through elements of frustration, you even get angry. You try to claw. What does claw? You claw and try to get as much as you can, thinking that you will survive. We unfortunately, some people think they're in a survival mode. And all I'm saying here, we do not have it as bad as some countries. And the other thing too, this is April. We're on the verge of going into the hurricane season. We don't know what the Atlantic, actually there are seven named, well, there are more than seven. But if I go back to that, it was sent to me by my Caribbean colleagues who are in the area of disaster management. I can pull it up shortly. But they shared us the named storms that are expected to come to the region. Of course, you only have about three or four that are the major ones. Suppose we were in a position like our sisters in Dominica 2 years ago. Suppose I have colleagues who did not have electricity in their homes for 8 months. And this constant belly aching because you don't get to go to go and buy bread. Seriously, folks, stop being so inward looking and so selfish and start looking out. And I will stop there. This is Down to Brass Tacks. So we have a number of calls. We will go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
This is Glenn Murray.
Good morning, Glenn.
How are you today?
I am doing well, thank you.
So in good shape. Good to hear that. Mm-hmm. As you know, just like you, I have an interest in human behavior, right? And so therefore, there are a couple of things which have caught my eye and concerning me about this phenomenon that we're going through. A phenomenal phenomenon, if you can say that, probably never had before in the strictest sense of the word, about the COVID enterprise. Crises and extreme situations offer extreme behavior in people, the worst in people, the best, the gallantry, the bravery, and selfishness. But on the other hand, for some people, the worst forms of behavior in people. And therefore, I attribute the selfishness that you're talking about to that kind of part of the whole field of anxiety and whatnot that prevails in situation, prevails in society. But on the other hand, so I would not, to my mind, classify as belly aching, but that people are expressing their.
Which part you don't classify as belly aching?
Why?
What do you not classify as belly aching?
I think it's just people expressing themselves in the queries, the challenges, the complaints, the so-called complaints are all part of this phenomenon thing.
But there's a place for complaints, and I think that there have been some legitimate complaints, but I also hear belly aching.
But you know, it's all relative. What is my want is your need. What is your need, my want? So I'm saying that is variety of human behavior that we have to. But I'm just saying that I'm not, that's not what I'm seeking debate today. I'm just saying that now. Some of the queries and challenges, even the debate a year ago, have brought about some positive changes in the arrangements as we seek to get this whole exercise right. And that way has borne some positive fruit. I like, for example, have you heard any reports yet how the pensioners made out yesterday at the post offices?
The lines were still long, but it was not as horrendous as last Thursday.
Right. I'm trying to figure out what's happening in Barbados. Is it that the people who are going to the supermarket, these long lines, and why? Is it that there's some pent-up demand which has to be satisfied? In other words, people have not been to the supermarket before, they can't say a long line. They have to get something.
Some of it, of course. There are people who go to supermarkets or thing shops, village shops, on a daily basis. Some of it is cultural. I heard the chairman of the Barbados Private Sector Association say that the supermarket is not a time for, you know, saying hi and how you doing and having, is not for a social gathering. And the harsh reality is, and I heard what he said and I reflected, I don't think I've ever gone to the supermarket and not stand and talk to someone for a little while, you know, hi, how you doing, and all of that. That's a part of our culture, and that is a real different, people to now have to strip persons from, you know, just going straight and just going and picking up what you want and being unkind. People see it as being unkind and being unfriendly, and because we're not accustomed to that. We're so social in our being.
You're probably the same people you haven't seen for a while. Because
all of that. But this is not the time for that, they're saying. Okay. And we have to come to that place where we're conscious that when we speak, we stand the potential of sharing COVID-19 if we have it.
But if that is happening, could it be that the messaging, the methods of persuasion are not resonating and making the... It's going to take a while to change. People don't normally change behavior in a while, especially long-entrenched behaviors take a while to modify. Is it then that the messaging needs to be more persistent, has to be changed to get people to the place where they are willing to curb their traditional behavior, at least in this interim period?
As a social scientist, you know full well that behavior change is one of the biggest and hardest things to do. It doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
Bear in mind, we've only had our first case 1 month ago, so it will take some time. It will take a lot of time, but there's the element of bad behavior, and I call it not cognitive dissonance. It's just a behavior.
A defense of authority.
Which is cultural, unfortunately, where people just feel to do their own thing and not what authorities say. But the harsh reality is that they're not only putting themselves in peril, but they're putting others in peril.
Right, I understand that. I'm sure they don't understand, because when you take that kind of hostile and defiant attitude to society in a very entrenched way, it means that you don't think of those cons. You're only thinking that you, the society that you're opposed to, or the parts of society, or the institutions, the laws, etc., don't apply to. So therefore, you don't see any repercussions. You're just saying that you're standing your ground. You're maintaining your defense, and you're challenging the system at all points. But the law is there, meant to deal with that. Like for example, I saw something that probably slipped by. Where I saw a video where a group was referring to as the Red Sea government
in Barbados.
I apologize to the Prime Minister.
I heard about that, but I didn't see the video.
So what does that tell you? That they see this as a parallel institution? All that is parallel to defiance.
But we know that, though. So I'm not trying to... I mean, there are a number of factors, a lot of issues going on. There are people who would always defy authority.
Right.
They're not the ones standing in the lines, per se.
Okay.
Per se. I'm not saying that they're not, but I don't think that the typical defiant person that we... Let me manage that carefully, because even very recently, I was having a conversation about Barbadians, your age, and let's say within a 30-year radius, a 15 diameter, 15 and 15. So 15 years above your age and 15 years under your age. There are a number of people who for many years did their own thing, you know. Yes, they went to work, but they came home and they blistered the boss at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived normal. Children watched on, came along, and saw that, and they manifested the same defiance. But it was a, I have a colleague who lives here now. She's married to a Bajan. I wouldn't say where she came from, but you know what she said to me many years ago? We have an unsigned constitution where our people are, yes, we are very civil, but under that, she said we have a lot of raging elements to our society that have never come to the fore. And when she said it to me, she explained, she was talking about white and black, she was talking about young versus old, a whole host of things. And when you think about it, she comes from another society watching on and seeing how we in Barbados respond to different things. She'd been living here long enough.
Yeah, there might be some merit in that, but there'll be, for me, there'll be another. I want to pick up, though. I want to go on to the point.
Yes, because we had a little time here, so let's go on.
What these people are doing. In other words, there's a phenomenon of herd instinct. I've tried, where people, when they see people behave in a particular way, like the long lines in the thing, and when people are not are clustering and not spacing out.
Yeah, my husband was talking about the herd instinct this week, and I was like, but it is a reality.
And then there's also, that's the reality of human behavior all over the world. Then there's also something you've probably heard mentioned about the wisdom of crowds, where people, like last week, Wednesday, Thursday, I forget, they've lost the days now, where we have those masses lying outside the supermarkets and sometimes unruly behavior, and it happened all over Barbados, all the supermarkets, all the shops at the same time. That's what is known as wisdom of crowds, where people, before consultation, before discussion, behave in the same way. And it tells you that they themselves are saying something about what is going on. And it, to me, that reflects why some modifications were made to try to cope with that behavior. Hopefully, over time, that will change. But I think also what is happening, I'm not wondering if it is that people feel that we are not that threatened. We are not getting the information that is telling us that things are that bad. Or people might feel like, all right, we got a problem. But, there's Barbados, and we cool, the casual, the almost comp, the laid back. Mm-hmm. And that might be driving their behavior. I'm saying, remember our last conversation, I was talking about the information flow, press conference and whatnot. Are you satisfied that that has happened, that has improved?
What has improved?
The information in press conferences, not press statements, press conferences.
I think I remember this last conversation we had 2 weeks ago when I told you I'm not in agreement that we should be having a press conference every day.
That's right.
I'm still of that viewpoint. A lot of messaging has been coming out. It doesn't have to come out in a press conference. It reaches the different masses. Actually, sometimes I'm appalled at the pace and speed at which people can send misinformation. And when it comes to the information, the true and real information, that doesn't come out. That one bothers me seriously. But I think the messaging, there's always room for improvement. I think there is room for improvement in every single thing that is happening right now, probably because we haven't walked this road before. But they say hindsight is 20/20.
But we have not walked this road before in with a phenomenon like this, but we walked this road with other crises. I'm wondering if we do not need to have more probing ventilation of more probing questions and challenges. Like, for example, what is happening with testing? Do we have enough testing equipment? How many people have we tested?
Have you watched the press conferences?
Yes.
Have you heard how many testing kits there are?
But are we testing enough?
No, we are not testing enough.
We are not testing enough.
That's a clear question that has been said and answered as well at all of the press conferences. And the reason is, we do not have the capacity, one, to do the testing. We do not have the resources to do the testing. We don't have the number. So what they've been doing, they have shared their strategy very openly. And it is persons who have traveled or who have presented with symptoms, and then through contact tracing, and that they have shared that with us. What some people are saying is, had they closed the borders earlier, then we might not have had the spread that we had. But they're saying, up to yesterday, I heard the acting prime minister say that there has been no community spread. So we have to go with what the experts are saying. And that came from the Ministry of Health.
But I heard all that you said. I've heard in the press statements, broadcasts, etc. I'm pretty much on top of that. What I'm saying It is no, countries are now doing more aggressive in your face testing.
Which country? Is a country that has 330 million or a country that has 285,000?
Let me make the point, please. I'm saying that proportionality. How many people have tested? Less than 1,000 people so far?
Yes, still under 1,000. Yes.
Under 1,000. And are you convinced that that is enough of an aggressive testing in the society of 300,000?
Let me tell you what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that if I had 50 testing kits, that I should only spend those testing kits on people who I feel have it. Bottom line, that's what I'm convinced about, and that's what they have shared with me.
But you seem to be getting very hot. Just calm down.
No. But I mean, the point I'm making is, again, this is where, and I am frustrated. So I mean, for sure,
I'm not frustrated.
Not with you. Frustrated with the, and to me, that is some of the bellyaching that I am speaking about.
No. The point I want to make is that I know. There's a mad scramble, a rush, and all kind of underhand things that are going across the world in order to
arrest this.
I know even the Americans have held doors and all kinds of things are happening. I understand that.
But Glenn, the answer I gave you is the answer that you seem surprised at my answer. How could you do more testing with fewer testing kits?
I understand that you have a limited and it should be used strategically and in crucial situations.
I'm saying that.
Are we in any way about to get more? We can do more aggressive in the society.
The last I heard was that there were 2,500 testing kits that came into Barbados. That was Dr. Ford that was speaking on CBC about a week ago. That's the last I heard.
Uh-huh.
And if you know that we've only done 900, well, maybe not. And by the way, the Czar is going to be making a call at some point today. They are currently in their session, the normal daily update that they do with the Ministry of Health, etc. So hopefully some of your questions, if you have any more, will be answered when he either joins us I'm sure. So I thank you though for calling and sharing you have any more concerns?
Thanks for entertaining me. Take
yes,
care.
But today okay. Hopefully he will share some more with you, Glenn.
No problem. I hope so.
Thank you, Glenn. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air, Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Gill.
Yes, morning.
Could you tell me if the acting Prime Minister is still holding her portfolio as Minister of Education?
Yes.
Is that why we haven't heard any word about what is happening with the schools?
May you say haven't heard any word with your schools? What do you mean?
Schools were supposed to reopen on Tuesday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Saturday night I heard the Prime Minister saying that the Minister was going to meet with the unions and teachers and come up with a way forward.
Mm-hmm. I can share with you that I met in my capacity as chair of Frederick Smith Secondary School with the Minister of Education. I myself, along with all of the chairs of the respective secondary schools, 22 of them, and the principals of the secondary schools, our meeting ended at 7:30 p.m. last night. I do not have any permission to speak to what came out of that meeting, but I'm sure those persons who are impacted would be shared the information. Many of the principals are currently meeting with their teachers, and the information that is to come to the public will come to the fore. That is what I can share with you. And the substantive Minister of Education is the one who chaired that meeting. The Chief of Education was there, the principals, and the board chairs, and one or two other persons from the Ministry of Education. They are feverishly working towards finalizing the way forward, and that information will come to the fore in due time.
Well, yesterday, mm-hmm. I heard that the schools in Jamaica are still on 2 weeks vacation, but their Minister of Education made a pronouncement mm-hmm. that schools will not reopen until September.
Mm-hmm. So you want them to make that decision here in Barbados?
Well, I'm saying that some decisions should have been made. Everything
should have.
Yeah.
According to your timetable.
This same minister, okay, Mm-hmm. She was forced to close the schools, you know.
Yeah, because the parents put some pressure on.
She wanted the schools to continue down till the Thursday. But
yes.
Then she had the meeting with the teachers and so on.
When you say she had, which minister you mean? Minister here in Barbados?
Minister in Barbados.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did want to have it go on a little further given the information she had at the time, and then that quickly changed based on the discussion with the unions, etc. Yes, you're right.
So all of these weeks we had to be doing what was supposed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they are hip and hawing.
So how is your child impacted? They're doing CAPE?
Pardon me?
They're doing CAPE or CXE?
I'm not doing any extra. I'm just saying.
Oh, you seem awfully bothered, though.
No, all she was concerned about is making some announcement about the 11 plus.
Oh, that's what she was only concerned about. Okay.
But that is not.
That's what you deduced from that discussion.
11 plus exam.
Anything else you want to share? Because clearly you have some issues with that that pronouncement back then.
Don't you think now in the crisis that we are in, there should be a downsizing of the cabinet?
No, I don't think so. You think so?
Yeah, but there are certain ministers.
I'm not interested in the size of the cabinet. I think I shared that on Brass Talks on more than one occasion.
All right. There are certain ministers now that are going to be doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The Minister of Tourism, the Minister of the Bill Economy.
Sir, my previous caller told me that I seem a little high, elevated levels of... Make your final point, please.
These ministers are going to be doing nothing.
Right, in your view, and they should all resign.
Should we continue to pay them for doing nothing?
Okay. Any other questions? In fact, I just gave you your last question. The question is, should ministers continue to do nothing and be paid? Thank you for your contribution. Down to Brass Talks.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You're allowing people to get to our radio this morning, so.
No, nobody ain't getting to me. I'm just responding to people accordingly.
Oh, okay. When you were mentioning the different leaves, like socially and mentally and physically, you're left with one, though.
I didn't call all that. Was not an exhaustive list. was just a list that then I had, et cetera, at the end.
I can add to the list now, foolishly, too.
People are impacted foolishly? How so?
No, I'm talking about impacted. I'm talking about a lot of different things. Now, who's the minister responsible for the first office?
Information. I think that would be Senator Lucille Moore.
I hear a lot of people praising certain people, right? Well, I can praise them and deserve praise, but they don't deserve it because I got to sit down. You see the pension deal? I think that the first office should have been open as usual, and you would not have had those elderly people in that hot boiling sun. And strange enough, I'm not saying she didn't, but I'm telling you that I didn't hear the minister who's responsible for the elderly at her work to this day. Right? I heard a lady called.
Sir, before you go any further, you said that there was no, you have not heard the minister of with responsibility for elderly affairs utter a word. Recently?
No, did you not hear what I said?
I'm asking you to repeat because I need clarity.
I said, I don't know if she did, but I
You say you were here, though. I should really play back. I should have a thing to say to play back.
Hold on, listen to me again. Mm-hmm. I said, I am not saying that she didn't.
It's actually Home Affairs. Well, sorry. Elderly Affairs would be Miss St. Thomas. Her name is Cynthia Ford. She does not have responsibility for the post offices. I just mentioned Senator Lucille Moore. It is actually Mr. Edmund Hinkson who has responsibility for the post offices based on your question.
I said that it was handled wrong by whoever minister is or who is responsible. Pension there should be as normal. If you have visited or if you had a family opportunity to visit the post office, any pension there, the first day that cash starts to be changed, you're going to find a crowd and to get dispersed in a hurry.
But weren't we off pension day? Weren't we on, there was no activity on pension day? The post office was closed.
I don't mind being in Kerry Gable, right? But I'd like to at least perform my case. Had it been as usual, the next day would not have been as talk and justice, because it starts to filter out. By what was done, they had huge congregations, if you can call it that, standing in the hot boiling sun every day going to the post office. And I can tell you this now, at the British Post Office, they have one cashier, one, to deal with that multitude of people. One.
I want to respond to you, and it has nothing specifically to, but I don't want to lose my point. There are some people in that lane, old and otherwise, who also ain't had a rating there. You know why? There are some people who insist on getting their pension checks changed, even when they have money.
Well, I can't.
And I have a serious challenge with a person who would put themselves at peril just because they're wanting to get their money changed.
You know that I have money.
Sorry?
What facts do you have to prove that I had money?
Not everybody in the line. I just said there are some people who I am aware of who went to get money changed. Adamant, that is. Old, yes. Ain't had a right in the line. But because they wanted to get their money changed. That's what I said.
Okay. That can go out anywhere.
And put themselves in peril. Unnecessarily.
I don't have any proof to that. Neither do you.
I have proof, sir.
Well, you got proof.
That's why you said it.
Let me go on to my next point. The question. Offer. I can say a lot of people don't want that, right? No politician are tricking me. None. As they grow older, they plan to get wiser.
That's a good
because
position. Let me hear you.
I cannot understand how you could be brutalizing a man when he was Minister of Finance. He didn't use. He's destined down. He bring the country to his knees. Yes, and I agree with it. Because he was a loater. How come now you want him to be on something that actually arising? Look, there's a move afoot to destroy the Democratic Labour Party. That's what it's all about. You hear what I tell you?
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to say it, but I just say it. That's what it's all about.
So this is a tactical move here now?
Yes, it is. No, I'm not laughing. Right? I'm laughing. I think it's about time, because both of these parties, they have the same attitude. Now, I would think that when you criticize 17 ministers, or any government having 17 ministers, that when you get there, you will reduce it. But no, we have gone into the age of new math. Rather than have 17, they got 26.
Mm-hmm.
And things bad. But it's not so bad that we can have additional ministers. You understand? I just wonder, we need to talk about education. I hear Barmaris already in an interview, if he was educated, he'd be a damn fool. Now, if what I am seeing being displayed by Barbadians is being educated, I won't be an idiot. Yeah? Because for years and years, we have allowed politicians. I want to say, I was like that too. But as I said, as they grow, every day plan to learn. We have allowed politicians to kind of get in our minds and put us against each other, make a lot of promises that don't ever come true. I hear talk about nepotism and all of that. I thought when you get there, you would stop it. No, it's still going on. I see people get promoted because of who they know and who they're related to. I thought that was a stop. It's still going on. So the solution, I thought, would have been to say goodbye to the Barbadian Party and goodbye to the Democratic Party and start fresh.
And start
with
fresh.
Nobody can either side being involved, because if you have them involved, chances are they're going to become a negative influence on who is there. That's reality.
Mm-hmm.
And we, I want to say so with that too, and fighting to the soul, but I learned we want to. I had to ask two clones in a certain part of Barbados, fighting, cursing one another over. One is B.
Yeah.
I asked just a simple question. You ever heard a politician from either side die? And that side said, glad you did. They didn't answer that one. I said, I ask a question. This one, yes, I want one explanation. And then they saw what was going on. It's just trick. It's just to get in people's mind. It don't be about us. It's be about them. I hear talk about people can get locked up and all of that. Nothing's going to happen and nothing. So I think our party with the other two left off.
Okay.
We have to get real and against anybody.
Do not blindly follow the politicians.
But no, this is my last thing, right? I'm not against anybody.
No, but you said, my takeaway from what you said is don't blindly follow the politicians. Think for yourselves.
Then the wrong said the wrong. I have relatives who are politicians.
Say what your last point is, though.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the end for me. And they come on this way and they criticize them. One of them, I said, I hope you don't get a vote.
Got one?
Because they were doing foolishness. One of them, he was a minister too. I said, I hope you don't get a vote. Mm-hmm. Not because you're family to me that you can do crap. I'm not like the average human being.
Okay.
I am not. You have a nice day and you stay safe.
Thank you, Dr. Brass Tacks. We have quite a bit of WhatsApp, so I want to just share some very interesting things would have come out of them in our break. And one lady mentioned that she had the issue of 40 items limitation when she went to one of the larger supermarkets. And she said she got paid at a particular time, and does she have to come back to the supermarket to her next day to get the other 40 items? And she thought that was not a wise thing to do, having stood in the line for so long. Someone is querying Western Union's information, for which I don't have, so if anyone has it, please share it. And one person questions the community spread. Do you really believe that there's no community spread? And then someone asked me if I stood in any lines, and that's the reason why I have the posture that I have, because I didn't stand in any lines. And I did earlier on, but since this recent change, what I have done is get one or two things from the corner shop. And I would have done. I do need some things. And now that we have our numbers, our last names, I look to participate. Actually, my time is now. As a G, I should be shopping now. But I'm reading your WhatsApp. So thank you very much for asking me if I stood in any lines. And then someone mentioned that there are several testing kits, no longer just 2,500. The Cayman Islands sold and delivered 20,000 testing kits to Barbados. And then a query from a pregnant lady who wants to know whether or not there's any provision, any special provision for them. And finally, another WhatsApper here who mentions the management of the supermarkets yesterday. They thought that having been turned away at 11 was not a good thing. Too many people were turned away. And what I would say from that is because we had both the bank holiday and then the break on Tuesday, there are a number of persons who also added to that chaos yesterday. But ask yourself, do you need it that badly to put yourself at risk? And that's a question that some people need to answer. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, sir.
Greetings and salutations to your good self.
Thank you.
Let me first commend the Honourable Mayor Marty QC, mm-hmm. MP,
yes,
the Prime Minister of Barbados, for her eloquent address to the nation last Holy Saturday, putting country before self, coming out of convalescence after shadowing 26 ministries to her credit, getting a well-deserved rest. It has been officially announced that the 2020 Olympics has been called off. Year after year, we are told that Kwa-Ova was bigger and better. Yet, in the same breath, the stakeholders complained that they did not make a profit. However, they have no excuse to make this year, for without doubt, it would only be a matter of time before following the same path of the 2020 Olympics. It is anticipated that some band leaders are calling it there, whereas it should be realized leadership is impossible without a guiding vision and purpose that generates passion for accomplishment. He once had the atomic bomb and the hydrogen bomb. But to me, personally speaking, and not being literate scientifically, the coronavirus is a killer, not only to human beings, but also to world economies. And we must be very careful not to make this coronavirus a political football. Yes, without doubt, there is going to be worldwide unemployment. But we can't get at this stage, in other words, we can't at this stage think about other jurisdictions. We have to definitely think locally, seriously on our economic strength, not to unconsciously become a welfare state. That is why I am in full agreement with the late J.F. Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for the country. We cannot put our pending financial statement on the back burner, 2020-21 budget. There should be sacrifices with the government leading from the front. One, the discontinuation of parliament lunches and refreshment, giving members 1.5 hours for a lunch break to purchase their own. Two, if chairmen and members of boards are paid for a meeting they attended, should give of their services as an honor to the country. Three, all increases of earnings be put on hold. Four, the local governance be put on hold. Five, the bitter pill to swallow, but one that would assist or reset or cure for recession, the pill that can, at this stage, help the economy, asking university students to pay for their education. In conclusion, ma'am, Senator Brastock, the veteran Mr. David Ellis, should be complimented for showing what investigative journalism is all about. It was indeed very commendable getting in contact with Barbadians who are residing overseas or in overseas country to share their concerns with the coronavirus. Thanks for your patience as I listen for a response from your good self, ma'am.
Yes, sir. You always ask some good questions and share some pertinent points. I would leave it as is. You have indicated your thoughts, and I appreciate you sharing them. And I will go to the next caller on the phone lines. Dr. Brastats, remember the number to call, 434-1790, or if you want to WhatsApp, 266-4862. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
Yes, good morning.
Hi. I almost forgot what I called about, but nonetheless.
Was it my voice? Was it my voice?
No, not at all. I've heard it many times at university, so okay. I got accustomed. I was just wondering, now that the supermarkets and hardware stores have been given the opportunity to open, what about, or have there been any provisions made for local manufacturers that supply and stock the shelves on the supermarket and hardware stores? I have not heard anything about the local manufacturers, if they were given provisions or not. And I'm curious, because I do believe the shelves will have to be restocked. And I would like to think that we would restock them with local produce first.
I am, when you say local manufacturers, please expound, because there's a big separation between vendors who provide local produce and then manufacturers who input, who provide those other productive products.
I'm talking about both, primarily the ones that manufacture stuff from the condiments.
Like season, okay, yes.
You know, not only in the supermarkets, but the hardware stores, their shelves need restocking as well. So I'm trusting that some consideration will be given to the local manufacturers that they can operate, even at reduced capacity.
Well, I haven't heard specifically for manufacturers, but I know that if I'm running a supermarket and I run out of, let's say, biscuits, I'm going to call my provider, my wholesaler, or the person who provided it, and I'll get them to supply it. There doesn't have to be a 8-to-4 opening of that entity, but at least that entity is the one who's supplying me with the things that I need for me to retail.
I
haven't heard anything specific.
I would do likewise, but the employees that actually perform the manufacturing process, they would have to commute and so forth. And I'm saying, are they given permission to traverse the roads and so forth to do the manufacturing?
Tell me something. Have you seen the roads? I mean, seriously, though.
I want to be honest with you and tell you no, so it would suggest that I've kept myself in sight.
Yeah, but you want to be, but be who you are. Be honest. Be authentic.
No, there's a road right in front of my house. I much agree with you, but still, mm-hmm. The manufacturers wanting to abide by the government rules and regulations, but want to have the clearance to do the
I think that is happening where there's a significant demand. So let's use last weekend when Abed's was open. I just en route here to Brass Tacks collected my masks from a supplier. And when I made the order last week, the lady was out of some of the inputs for the mask. And she said she had to go to, she understands there's an opening of Abed's. And she would get those other inputs, and I can get my order this week. And so said, I understand Abed's was open. Of course, there were a number of persons who were up in arms, citing that Moses and all the other suppliers would have. But I believe that there has been some discussion, or would have been some discussion, between the Abed's, Mr. Abed, Eddie Abed, and the government of Barbados for that allowance to have taken place. And let's say the Massey or Eddie's or anybody who currently plays their trade and they knew that the supermarket was opening and that their stock levels were low, just as there have been discussion. And I know people don't always understand, but a lot of meetings and consultation and those things go on. It doesn't go on Brass Tacks. Information is filtered to Brass Tacks, but a lot of stuff is going on behind the scenes. The social partners are meeting to plan ahead. We didn't just come up with the BD, not we, but Barbados didn't come up with the BDCE and all that. There is consultation continuously. So if manufacturers, and you're raising a legitimate point, if manufacturers are asking for, or should I say the retailers are asking for the products so that they can share with their customers, I'm sure that a provision would be made for that. And whereas the staff need to come out, I'm sure those emergency passes would have been supplied. Your voice has gone right down, so grateful if you can.
Sorry, yes. It starts from the customer demand. If the customer is demanding the particular product,
right,
then
yes.
And the manufacturer would have to produce it. But mm-hmm. if there's any number or email address or smoke signal direction that I can have, so I can contact somebody and get some guidance on it, I'll be happy if you can provide it for me.
Okay, so what you can do, kindly leave your number with Mr. John Stout, our producer, mm-hmm. and I can get you any amount of numbers for your query, because it's a very legitimate query.
Lisa, I thank you very much. This has been the furthest I've gotten with this consideration, mm-hmm. and I would do so with Mr. Stowe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.